Bruce Williamson joins us now. He's from Rail Future. They're a voluntary group, an independent campaign for better rail services, representing rail users. Thanks very much for joining us, Bruce.
Good morning, Julia.
Good morning. So, presumably, you are, as Mick Cash says, incredibly grateful to the RMT for putting safety before profit and going out on strike on your behalf. Is that
right? Well, we certainly care about rail safety, of course. You know, we want a safe journey for rail users. But as you've heard, you know, when it comes to strikes like this, both sides will put up a reasonable argument as to why they're in the right. And clearly the knock-on effect is that not just that the passenger suffers, but the whole of the rail industry suffers, you know, because there are sort of knock-on effects in terms of the credibility of rail as a mode of transport. And, you know, the longer the strike goes on, the worse that gets.
Well indeed. Now, we do know, I mean, look, it's not just the RMT who are in the bad books for me. We know that Southern Railway are absolutely bleeding hopeless, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't have a good reputation. It's kind of double whammy for the poor old Southern passengers, because we've had this issue of reduced timetable recently, and then a strike on top of that just makes it even worse. And I think we have to put this in the context of, you know, rail use generally. Rail's a huge success story, and rail passenger numbers keep going up and up and up. So you've already got more passengers wanting to use the line than there are trains and seats for them. So, you know, having fewer trains only makes that worse and worse.
Well, indeed, yeah, absolutely. In terms of this issue over having this extra member of staff, presumably there was a time when it was absolutely vital. You had these really heavy doors that needed to be manually opened. You know, I'm a big, strong, strapping lass, and there have been doors I've not been able to open, you know, and close. And you've got, you know, people leave them open, someone's got to go and close them. And you needed to have a second member of staff. With automated trains now, and I know that Southern Rail have actually got pretty old stock, but with automated trains coming, you know, and these simple press button, it's all electric, do we really need to always have a second member of staff? Because do we not have station staff on platforms anyway?
Well, I think it's very, very important that one way or another we have that human presence. You know, the passengers really appreciate that and depend on it, you know, and particularly if you imagine going to a gloomy late night station and there's no one there, either on the train or on the platform. That's a very worrying situation that we don't want to get into. But of course, you can't ignore technology. You know, over the years, you know, we don't need firemen anymore, do we? Because we don't power our trains off coal. And you know, you can automate the signalling. You can run a whole line from a super duper computerised signalling centre. And these technological advances have to, you know, it's fair enough that they're implemented, but they have to be implemented with the sort of cooperation of everyone all round, and making sure that the passengers don't suffer as a consequence.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? When we've got a union, the RMT, been dealing with them for years, they look, I tell you what, you know, if you ever want to have a union representing you, they are the one. And they're a fantastic union for their members. But at the end of the day, their willingness to go out on strike of their members is perhaps much higher than most people's willingness to go out on strike. But we've also got a problem with Southern Rail, and they've been fairly intransigent over the years over any changes, whether it's you know, London Tube for their drivers or on the main railways. And then we've got Southern Railway who are complete, you know, a basket case as a company in terms of their running of services. And when you're dealing with two sides who are incompetent, hopeless, you know, intransigent, the only people who really suffer in the end are the passengers. And you do sort of wonder how long these situations can go on, with Southern Rail passengers suffering to such an extent. I mean, I keep hearing interviews with people who genuinely are not seeing their kids Monday to Friday. Someone who had to give up their job because they simply could not guarantee getting home ever at night to pick up their kids from childcare. It was taking, you know, each journey they're spending 6 hours a day travelling instead of a couple of hours.
Yeah, you've summed up quite well a fairly ungood situation.
Ungood, I like that. You should go into politics, Bruce.
I'm trying to be a little bit more diplomatic than you, Julia.
Oh, I don't have to be. It's not the BBC.
It is notable that this issue has been resolved on other franchises. You know, so clearly, you know, both sides are digging in their heels. And I do wonder, actually, that the new Transport Secretary, Chris Grayling, this might be a golden opportunity for him to earn some brownie points if he were to be able to sort of intervene as some sort of honest broker and gently and diplomatically automatically bang heads together and maybe we can get this thing resolved, because no one wins, really.
Do you think the only answer, though, really, is to remove the franchise from Southern Railways?
Well, I mean, who knows? If I were to get the betting man, I wouldn't put money on it being renewed.
I think everyone's pretty clear on that, but it's a question of how long people... But it's just the thing, it's like accepting that they're completely hopeless, they're not keeping up with the deal they took on, and passengers are suffering, and yet nothing happens for years on end. It seems bizarre. But is this the worst case scenario? Is this the worst railway and the worst sort of battle going on a railway? Or is this happening elsewhere and we're just not quite so aware of it? Especially bearing in mind, you know, the London-centric media, and there'll be people in every newsroom in London who know someone who gets Southern Rail.
No, I mean, we have had strikes on other franchises at other times, but it is notable that this is the worst since 1968, and industrial relations with the railways generally have been fairly good. We're not back to the bad old days of the 70s, it seems, except possibly in the case of Southern and the RMT. I think this is the exception rather than the norm.
So things are improving. And in terms of long term, I mean, certainly you look at lots of different train services. Mm. We are looking at going to, you know, driverless trains in some sectors, like the London Tube eventually. And we're looking at obviously cutting down to just one member of staff on trains generally. This is just the future, isn't it?
Well, it's the past, Julia. We've had driverless trains for 30 years now on the Docklands Light Railway. Mm. But I go back to my point of the human presence. You know, it's all well and good having an automatic train, and that's fair enough. You know, if you have a proper computerised system, it might actually be safer than a
driver who might fall asleep.
Yeah, who's only human. But nonetheless, passengers still demand that human presence, a sort of point of contact, you know, for when things go wrong.
But again, then, does that have to be, I mean, that's one of the things the RMT, when you look at, you know, the London Tube being a specific example, this need for the driver, you know, drivers to be there, highly skilled, although you can train in a matter of weeks to do the job. People paid £45,000 plus a year doing these jobs, when actually just the presence of somebody, you know, and this could be easily a cost-cutting measure of somebody who, you know, a customer service member of staff, rather than, you know, to help someone with their bags, or just to reassure lone female travellers, for instance. But that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be the conductor or the guard.
Well, not necessarily, although you want that person to have the skills to deal with emergency situations rather than just, you know, being a conventional customer service person. But yeah, I mean, clearly when technology changes, the roles change and the opportunities for change come along, and you know, you wonder why these two sides, because we've been doing this for years. I mentioned firemen. Obviously, we went from you know, steam to diesel. That meant getting rid of two drivers, where we now have one. So and signalling and so on. So in the past, throughout the rail industry, we've done this. We've taken on new technology and reduced the workload for humans. And why can't we do it again now? It's annoying.
Annoying. That sums up the situation for the poor Southern Railway passengers who have been having to put up with this and may have to put up with it for another few days, although Mick Cash from RMT did say it's not too late for us to suspend their action. So that's Bruce Williamson. Thank you so much for joining us. He's from Rail Future. They're an independent campaign made up of rail users who just want better rail services. Goodness me, we could all join that organisation, couldn't we?